Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on Radio MD.
Wow, the Ashley Madison scandal abounds. You can't open up a single newspaper out there without reading about it, right? Well, so the bottom line is we're going to be looking at this cheating issue. What is cheating all about? So we have Dr. Gail Gross, our go-to person, to be able to help us understand all things psychology. And so, Dr. Gross, thank you so much for coming back on Her Radio. And we want to understand, you are a nationally recognized family and child development expert, author, and educator, and have probably been, interviewed by a zillion people about this Ashley Madison scandal by now. So, first of all, why don't we start diving into this? You know, what is this whole issue of cheating with people?
Well, you know, the new studies out tell us that we're really monogamous as a species. We're a form of primate, and we pair. That doesn't mean that a species that pairs doesn't cheat. It just means that what, as a species, we prefer to do is to stay paired, even if there is cheating on the side. So if somebody goes off the reservation and meets up with someone else, mm-hmm. they usually don't want to go off with that somebody else. They just want to have that something different on the side, but they don't want to give up the pair, typically. And in fact, people who cheat usually don't end up with the person they cheat with. And cheating isn't really about sex, and it's really not about not usually. And it's not really about somebody looking more beautiful or somebody. In fact, a lot of men, for example, will cheat with someone who gives them less good sex than their wives. They may be happily married. They might have a beautiful partner and cheat with someone who's not as beautiful. But, you know, in everybody's life, from birth to death, there's only two people, mom and dad. And all of our relationships are based on those interactions, those early patterns. So when people cheat, men often gravitate to someone who's sympathetic, empathetic, passionate, helps them, supports them, and makes them feel like they've got mom in the background, someone who appreciates them and values them. Women often cheat in a similar way. Men will gravitate to a sexual encounter as just a one-night stand or something novel. Women are less likely to do that.
Well, Gail, there's something that's interesting here. When they actually looked at the demographic split off, you know, for Ashley Madison, it appeared,
right.
even though they call it like gender one and gender two, you know, it was obvious that the 86% of people who were gender two were men. And
that's
I'm
right.
looking at this motto for Ashley Madison. It's life is short, have an affair. So was this really more of a men's play, this whole Ashley Madison thing?
Well, you know, we can break these things down to religion. More Christian men cheat than Jewish men cheat. More men cheat than women cheat. But what does it really get down to? It really gets down to cultural taboos. Every culture has a taboo, whether you're in Indonesia or if you're in the European countries. When we were more primitive and we operated tribally, each tribe had its taboo. Those taboos gave us a conscience, rules and regulations, and things that we had, structures that we had to live by. And when we broke those taboos, there was consequences and punishments. Today, we've stepped into a time and place where all those taboos are falling away. As a result, you're seeing a period, I think, you know, similar to a very early period in our development before the Renaissance, where people are really doing anything. They're really moving away in a confused way because there's when you take away guilt, you don't have to replace it with something. And people have not yet figured out what are the new taboos. What is that new structure? You know, Freud's great line, the cost for civilization is neurosis. Well, right now, we're in a certain way acting more more naturally to the natural man, but we've got to live in a community, so we've got to come up with what's our new neurosis. How do we keep ourselves in some kind of structure so we can get along, go along and get along?
So, Gailey.
Hi, Gailey. Good morning.
Hi, Gailey. You and I've had you and I've had this conversation a lot, right, about relationships and more than once.
Usually over wine.
Do you think it's become? Yeah. Well, in my case, it's over wine. But do you think it's becoming more normalized in society?
We're changing. We're changing as a society.
Yeah.
And as we're changing, we're going to have to find our way to those new taboos. You know, when Margaret Mead went and wrote her famous book, which turned out to be a cheat, not correct. She listened to what the elders of different tribes were telling her in Indonesia, and she had this idea that they were very, very free with sex and just living together. And so she wrote what they were telling her, but they were fooling her. And the truth was, they had their right. taboos too.
So oh, wow. Absolutely.
Each tribe, each group has that rules. So that they can live together. It's a thing you give up your impulses so that you can live in society.
There you go.
But if you look around now,
try and live in harmony.
Right, but you can see now that there's a shift, not just in our country, but in the world, for many reasons. Wealth, technology, power, and...
Huge
stresses, and we still relate to stress the way our primitive fathers did. We don't have a new, we may be more intellectually savvy, but we still have that same flight or fight that we run out of and run off of, and that's still dominating the way we react. And so
Gail,
well, wait a minute now, hold on now. Michelle's raising her hand.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Gail, but I just have to ask you this because our segments are sort of short. But in a minute or so, can you tell us why is it worth? Can you be fully committed to somebody? What's the point of a relationship if someone isn't fully committed? Is there a point?
Well, I've been fully committed for 42 years, and a large proportion of men, for example, I think the number is like 84%. There's a large percentage, I know this is going to sound strange with what we've just said, but kids that marry today are wanting more of a commitment.
Wow.
And they will tell you that they're so uncomfortable with this natural approach, this looser way, that if they bond, they want a commitment.
Wow.
So at the end of the
That's
day,
interesting.
We're moving back to the... something. We just don't know what we're moving towards. But we are a monogamous species. I want to stress that.
Yep,
so,
yep.
You know, so yes,
no question.
At the end of the day, the answer is yes. And you're seeing that. People want
to... Well, you know, we've been really talking about this whole Ashley Madison scandal and trying to put in perspective where we're going, how we're evolving as a society. And it looks like, you know, the millennials, the rest of them, are looking for more of a commitment, and we're moving away from this cheating thing. So, Dr. Gail Gross, thank you so much for once again being on Her Radio and helping us understand, is cheating normal? I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
And don't forget, you can go to drgailgross.com. That's her website. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Stay well.